flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Clay Harbor.
Playing at Wembley Stadium, 90,000 sold out crowd in London. And for some reason, my heart's beating, getting out of a limo to go date some girl. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network. Former NFL player.
Not a quarterback. I'm a tight end, but I've watched a lot of tape. I've been in meeting rooms with Tom Brady. I've been in meeting rooms with Drew Brees. I've been in meeting rooms with Michael Vick. Quarterbacks know what they can do and what they can't do. And I know what a quarterback can and can't do and when you're supposed to expect them to be able to be successful.
Clay Harbor with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Clay Harbor. He is down at the Senior Bowl, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Clay, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. It's good to be down here in Mobile, Alabama. I mean, it's in the south. It's actually sunny down here. It was 65 degrees. I got a little bit of a sunburn.
Well, so you know, I'm warm here too, Clay. It's about 40 here too, so we're getting the sunlight here. So you're not like you're escaping the polar vortex, but it is nice that they have good weather down there. So what did you do yesterday? What are you looking for? Ryan Poles arrived. We made a big deal about where he was the first day. He gets down there. We know the Bears are looking for a little bit of everything. What did you focus on yesterday?
You guys already know what I focused on. I focused on what the Bears need to be focused on, and that's the trenches. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly all I've really watched. I mean, obviously some skill guys have popped too, but I just focused on the trenches. And I mean, there are some players down here. I think this is one of the, I've been to the last 3 Senior Bowls, and I have to say, this is the best group of O-line, D-line that I've seen. So I've been down here, and you know, the Bears look for guys at the Senior Bowl. You go back to Braxton Jones. He was the Senior Bowl guy, Dominic Robinson, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Zach Pickens, Roschon Johnson, Kieran Amagaji, and David's favorite player, Torrey Taylor, Bajan as well. So, you know, they're down here looking, and the trenches are looking good.
You know, it's interesting because I read yesterday, and I guess I knew this, but it was something I hadn't seen, that Ryan Poles has drafted at least two players out of the Senior Bowl since he's taken over the Bears. And I agree with what you're saying. Now, a lot of really good players are at the Senior Bowl. It's the best of the bowl games, the postseason All-Star games. I guess when I think about kind of where the Bears are at, you know, looking, I don't know who it was, maybe CBS dropped their top 50 players and they only had 9 offensive linemen about among those 50. Usually there are more. Is this a draft, generally speaking, where there's more depth on the offensive line, or it doesn't seem like it's top heavy? And I'm wondering, if you believe, and I'm with you totally, it's got to be the trenches. Do you believe they go more defensive line in the first round, or do they, you know, they got 2 second-round picks, high second-round picks. Do they wait till then? And how many linemen do they need out of this draft on each side of the ball?
After being down here, I'm confident that there will be a good number of picks available on the offensive line at 39 and 41. So I would be good with them going D line with that first pick at number 10, because there is some depth. There's a couple guys that I really fell in love with that I think will still be available in those 2 second round pick spots that could be guys you could literally plug in, an interior lineman. And the good thing about the interior lineman, because the Bears, they do have a little bit of wiggle room, obviously left tackle. Some people say upgrade, some people say don't. But a lot of times these interior linemen will fall into the second, you know, third round because they're not looked at as a priority. That's obviously changing a little bit. But I think that this class is really strong with a bunch of interior linemen in that second to third round range. And you got a lot of guys that have transferred from tackle to guard, even out here in Mobile, and have looked so much better. And they look like pro players. The first thing I look for when I'm out here is I go, is this guy an NFL football player? And then after that, I go, okay, what's this guy need to work on? What does this guy do well? And then that's kind of how I make my judgments on if I think he's a player or not.
And so, Clay, I referred to the Senior Bowl earlier in the show. Is that's where the rank-and-file players of the NFL draft go to. They get observed and they make their impressions. And I just wonder, when you see all the traits you just described, those are great. But I wonder if you could relate to or can identify guys who just have that certain sort of, whether it's a hunger, whether it's a mentality. You know, you came out of Missouri State. You were drafted in the 4th round, and you spent 7 years in the NFL. Maybe because you always felt like you were trying to prove something because of where you were drafted or where you came from. How many guys like that have you seen, and how common is that mentality at the Senior Bowl?
Oh, it's huge. And David, don't steal one of my years. I played 8 years, man. They're going to take away my pension now because of you. But I always look for that. I look for the small school guys, because a lot of times you don't know how they're going to play when they're going against a guy that has LSU or Florida on his helmet. I played the East-West Shrine game when I was coming out, and that was a big game for me, showing that I could play with this different competition level. And there's a number of guys that I like that are smaller school guys. Obviously, you see it less and less with the portal, but you look at the past years. I remember Quinyon Mitchell out here just showing out. Ladd McConkey, a guy that rose. Ricky Pearsall going to last year. There was a number of guys that came out here and were overlooked, and you just saw how competitive they were, taking every rep, going out there winning rep after rep. And then you see these guys go high in the draft, and then you see them have success in the NFL. That's why I love coming out here every year, because it's translatable, because you can see the guys that are first in line with every drill, but aren't scared to go up against the top guy. And that's the guys that you see success.
I'm curious. So, you know, you obviously, Jacksonville, one of your teams, you know what that's like there. You could probably yell the word Duval a lot better than Liam Cohen managed. I'm curious, tell us about Press Taylor. Do you like that hire? He is a former OC down there. I don't know that he can yell Duval right, but he you know, is a passing game coordinator, so it's not the same job. But what's your take on him?
You know, I like Press Taylor as a human. He was in Philly with me when I was there. He was, Doug Peterson obviously came from Philly to Jacksonville. And then in Jacksonville, I spent some time down there going to training camps and and hanging out with those guys. And he's an excellent human, and he's a guy that's going to work his tail off. But he just did not have a lot of success in Jacksonville. If you ask any Jacksonville Jaguar fan, they do not like Press Taylor. The big controversy down there is, why is Doug Peterson letting Press Taylor call plays? Everybody thought Doug Peterson should have called plays. First, Doug's not saying who's calling plays. Then you find out that Press is calling plays. Then maybe Doug's calling plays, and it's this big controversy, and it obviously didn't add up to success for Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a smart guy. He's been around ball. He's been around a number of quarterbacks, but for whatever reason, in Jacksonville, he was given the opportunity, and he didn't have success when he was taking the reins. But I think he's obviously in a different position here. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to call plays, and I think he'll be a much better coach when he takes that off his plate. He just focus strictly on the passing game and helping out any way he can with Caleb.
So, Clay, we're talking about the Bears looking for an offensive line coach still. That's the one position and maybe the most important position that remains unfilled on the coaching staff. They're looking at Justin Fry at Ohio State, Dan Rouchard at Tulane, who has some NFL experience. They're looking at Notre Dame's offensive line coach. From your perspective, knowing what these practices are like and how maybe, you know, the game is changing, what are the advantages or maybe the pros and cons of going to the college ranks to find your offensive line coach for a team like the Bears?
I think it's a guy that will bring a fresh perspective, a guy that's malleable, a guy that you can kind of teach with, and a guy that's really going to be receptive to the way you want to do things. Because a lot of these offensive linemen, offensive line coaches, I mean, they have their own way of doing things. They have their mind made up. So it's kind of tough when you come from a new system and you want to teach things a certain way to find an offensive line coach that's going to be able to coach the outside zone the way you want to coach it, to coach the gap scheme the way you want to coach it, to coach the pin and pull block the way you want to coach it, to have the same thoughts of protection as you do. So when you go for a college coach, I think there's a little bit more of an opportunity to sit in the room with them and kind of come up with a plan, because these guys, these offensive line coaches are different. I mean, it's a tough job. I think it's obviously outside the offensive coordinator, it's absolutely the most difficult and the most important job on offense. And it's very difficult. And if you don't have a cohesiveness between the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, no, things can get a little messy because now they're seeing things a different way.
Yeah, it's a crucial job, especially here, especially this year, right? Because you got to get a teacher in here because there's player development needed. And you got to get, as you're saying, you got to draft some guys here. I've been waiting for this hire as much as anybody on staff. I was really hoping that Fraley would follow him here, but that's not happening. So you got to move on. And, you know, these guys all have careers and they all have reasons to like them. And I, as a general group, I love offensive line coaches.
Oh, yeah. They're usually guys with a big personality, and they have such a – there's been some rumors floating around at the Senior Bowl that the Bears have found their offensive line coach. I don't know who this is really coming from, but I think these guys are so important because they have to command such a big room. And you're talking obviously five guys on the field at one time. There's no other position that has to deal with that. An interior offensive line center is so different than an offensive tackle, the way you set, the way you run block, the pin and pulls, and getting these guys to act together. It's such an important position. You definitely want to see that get taken care of quickly so you can start getting to work and start figuring out the way you want to teach these techniques, because it's not an easy lift when you're out there and you're trying to figure out exactly how you're going to coach some of these schemes.
Talking with Clay Harbor, who is my colleague at the Chicago Sports Network down at the Senior Bowl, evaluating talent, looking forward to another day of practice. So, Clay, take us into the meeting room the first time that Declan Doyle addresses the offense. The Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, who's 28 years old. DJ Moore turns 28 in April. I just wonder, how big of a challenge is that for a 28-year-old offensive coordinator to command the respect that, you know, you expect an offensive coordinator to have?
You know, it's a different time now, and you've seen some success with some guys like Kevin O'Connell and obviously Sean McVay, some young guys, but, you know, it's different. It's different. Having a guy that is literally your peer in your age group, I've never experienced it. You know, I've had some offensive coordinators going from Marty Mornhinweg when I was in Philly. You know, Jacksonville, we had Greg Olson, Ole out there. And then go to the Saints. You got Sean Payton, who's basically the offensive coordinator. I mean, it's just different. We go to the Patriots, and we have Josh McDaniels, our offensive coordinator. So those are guys that have done it and have obviously commanded – the room before, and are a little bit older, a little bit your senior. I've never experienced a guy that I'm older than telling me what to do as an offensive coordinator. I think obviously these guys are professionals, and he's going to be a whiz kid on the computer and the analytics and all that. And I don't know if Ben's not going to be doing a lot of the teaching in there on his own, but at some point Declan Doyle is going to have to step up and get in front of that room and do some of the install. So that's interesting when you do have a guy his age and in that position. I don't know that I've ever seen that before in my experience, but I think these guys are pros. And what you have in Chicago is a group of young guys mixed with some veterans, and these guys all want to learn. And you got the guys with the right type of mindset. So I think it'll be fine, but it definitely is different.
Is Dan Rauscher the name you heard of the O-line coach in waiting? Or they interviewed Justin Fry yesterday. They've talked about the Notre Dame guy. But I think Rauscher might be the guy you're talking about.
Dan Rauscher, he's been floating around down here. And, I mean, obviously, I don't have it on good authority, but some of the local Chicago guys talking out here say they've heard it, that he is going to be the next offensive line coach, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
that's just a rumor floating around in Mobile.
That's okay, Clay. Nobody's listening.
it's just us talking.
How about the quarterbacks? What quarterbacks are you keeping an eye on? I know the Bears aren't in the market for a quarterback, but certainly the Senior Bowl's week for a lot of quarterbacks. They can take a leap. I think Riley Leonard is there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me give you some of my players here. Riley Leonard has had an up and down week. Jalen Milroe has had an up and down week, but Dart, I think, is the guy that's impressed me. He's been pretty accurate. I think he's a guy that's moving up draft boards. Dylan Gabriel, he's got an absolute cannon. He's small, but he's got an absolute cannon. I think they say he threw a ball like 75 miles an hour, which is pretty impressive. But I got the perfect guy for the Chicago Bears, man, and this guy's from North Dakota State. And I covered him, actually, when I called games for the Missouri Valley Conference and David's alma mater, Ball State, and I do some Mid-American Conference stuff. But this guy, Gray Zabel, he was a tackle in college. He played right and left tackle. And he comes out here, and he moves to guard. North Dakota State product. Oh. And he starts playing guard and center. And I'm not kidding. I don't think this guy has lost a rep all week. And he's a guy I could see. He was talked about as a third, fourth round guy. I think he's climbed up into the second round, but he reminds me of Grant Barton, Cody Mock. So just remember that name, Gray Zabel. And then hear me out on this. I know this is pretty crazy, but there is a 5'10 center, 270 pounds, and this guy is just destroying people. You got Mike Tomlin salivating. He was a state championship wrestler. And Willie Lampkin, I mean, this guy from North Carolina, he's 5'10", 270. I don't know how you guys would feel about having a 5'10 center, but
Caleb could see over him.
He can see over him. I'm telling you, it's the strangest thing I've ever seen. This guy's 5'10". He's going up against a guy that's 6'8", and he's winning the rep.
That's awesome.
He's just so good at leveraging. It's impressive. Running back Trevor Etienne, he's 5'8", but he is a guy that can catch, that can run. Kez Johnson at wide receiver is just, he can't be guarded. Jake Beck, a guy that's been doing unbelievable out here. Then my edge rusher for you guys, I love Mike Green. He led the FBS with 17 sacks. He's 6'3", 6'4", 250, played well against Ohio State, and he was just bulldozing guys out here. The last guy I have was Texas A&M's edge rusher Shamar Stewart. I mean, this guy, I think he went from third round to possible first round pick. So there's a lot of guys in the trenches that have really helped their stock out here. And I think it's a good draft. And I know people weren't saying that, but I think it's a good draft for O-line, D-line, and Ryan Poles will hopefully get it right this year.
That's great information, Clay. Before we let you go, I need a ruling here. So we had some fun at your expense on the Big Pro Football Show. What is your philosophy when wearing your former jersey number 82 to Eagles events or win in Philadelphia? Because we got a picture of you actually having your 82 jersey on eating lunch.
No, wait, you guys didn't show that
they
on the show,
showed
though,
that on TV. I was watching it. And David even teased that you'd be on today, and I was thinking, you look like, first of all, and this is a compliment, Clay, you look like you got the pads on when you're just wearing the jersey. You look like you're ready to play. But I mean, yeah, it looked like it was game-worn. I mean, it looked like it was pretty beat up.
Yeah, it was a game-worn jersey, but that was the only gear I had. It's the conference championship here, you know? All I have is my jersey. Yeah, I'm going to go out and support my guys. And the thing was, I wasn't even in Philly. I was in Toronto.
Okay.
Nobody's going to realize this is my cousin's 30th birthday. We went out to Toronto. We're at a sports bar. I go, who the heck would even know who the heck I am that I play for the Eagles out there? And then, yeah, I see this picture floating around. I didn't know you guys got me like that yesterday. So that's a low blow, David.
Looking good, though, Clay. I'm all for that. I think you're wearing the colors. I support that you support your team.
Yeah, I got the Eagles, obviously, winning this one. I think, surprise, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
You know, Vic Fangio's been calling a heck of a defense this year, and I think he's going to do enough for the Eagles defense so that Saquon and Jalen and the boys can pull this one out.
Good stuff, Clay.
Great stuff, Clay. Thanks a ton.
Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
That's Clay Harbor. That's so funny you guys use that.
He's a good sport.
Yeah.
He is.
And he's a good man. That's great stuff. That's great information from a guy watching it.
Yeah, of those guys that he mentioned. I think it was
– taking it seriously.
And also, those reflect the backgrounds of what we were talking about. Guys who take advantage of this week down there to impress whoever they need to impress – And ascend up a lot of draft boards.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Gray Zabel, right?
Willie Lampkin.
Willie Lampkin. I thought he was going to say Dustin Rhodes is a joke, because Dustin was like almost 5'10", 270
the undersized
pound center.
Yes,
right? Never got to 270.
Oh no,
248 is about as big as I ever was. 248.
Well, that's a name to remember. You never know. Mid-round, this is the rank and file.
I will get that jersey with that last man's name on it if he ends up being the Bear center.
All right. That'd be great.
All right. It's Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
38G load.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You interviewed with the Chicago Bears. I'm kind of curious if you could tell us what you learned by talking to Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, and what you've learned as being a head coach here, like how that helps you with your process.
It was a very thorough interview. They're great people there. I know Ryan, Ted Cruz is in the room, Mr. McCaskey. I'm from Chicago, so it was an honor to be there and talk to those people, because I respect the organization and watch them, you know, growing up. So it was cool to be in the room. I learned a lot about myself. Obviously, they went a different direction, and you know, I'm happy for them. But it was a great experience, and a learning experience, one that I can apply to future interviews.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. I like the Sweet Home Alabama, because that's direct from Mobile. That
yes,
is Mike Kafka. Mike Kafka, of course, local guy made good. He is the offensive coordinator of the Giants, and he is coaching the North team or the South team, whatever team he's coaching. He's the head coach down at the Senior Bowl, and he was asked about interviewing for the Bears job. Northwestern guy, bright guy. And
excellent quarterback.
Went to St. Rita's,
yeah.
which is, of course, now located where my high school was located, Quigley South. They moved in and they ruined everything.
So you were privately rooting for Mike Kafka.
I do like Mike Kafka. I think he's a real good coach.
Yeah.
And
he'll be a head coach at
one point. There'll be great things.
He's still in the mix in New Orleans, apparently.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't
know anyone was in the mix in New Orleans.
Well, I think Kellen Moore is expected to get the job.
Oh.
I don't know if that is going to be a formality or not, but his name was mentioned there. Mike McCarthy out of the mix there. But Mike Kafka talked about the Bears process again, which is getting a lot of praise. And he also talked about being a local guy and how big of a thrill it was to interview for the job.
Right. That's good stuff. You like hearing local guys.
Yeah, you do. And good for him that he's down there making an impression on somebody, future general manager, future boss. And he's doing this, and he's a marketable candidate coming off a season that you wouldn't imagine. After being on the Giants staff, you'd get a lot of people impressed because that was a tough year.
Well, it wasn't like Mike Kafka was the guy that made the Saquon Barkley trade. I don't know what you're implying. Greatest trade ever. We got to get rid of our running back. No, that never happened. He was the OC. But does Dable call his own plays as the head coach?
I'm sure he does. Yeah. I'm sure he probably does. So I think Mike Kafka's role Brian Dable's staff is probably similar to what Declan Doyle's role will be on Ben Johnson's staff. The coordinator who coordinates things during the week, runs practices and meetings perhaps, and does a lot of the dirty work, putting game plans together and sequencing and all kinds of things. And then he turns it over and the head coach calls the plays because that's why they got hired. That's why Brian Dable got the job in New York, and that's certainly why Ben Johnson got the job in Chicago.
It's interesting. I'm very curious about that staff. I kind of like the idea that Ben Johnson has some younger coaches. You know, I want to someday be able to write a book about all the great coaches on the staff who became head coaches elsewhere. That's kind of what happened in Washington. They had that staff together with Mike Shanahan having his son, and then all their
LaFleur
buddies,
and Sean McVay was there,
and all those guys were there. They're all over the league. Wouldn't that be great if the Bears were creating a coaching room that winds up?
It's a bright room. A lot of offensive-minded guys gathering together, collaborating. A lot of football intellect in that building now, and you feel good about it because it is young, and they seem to be on the rise. They've got energy and innovative ideas, and that's fun to kind of look forward to. You've got Press Taylor coming over from Jacksonville. As Clay said, there was a lot of questions or controversy down there with Doug Peterson and who was calling plays and who wasn't. That's coming back.
That was the dumbest ever. Liam Cohen, poor guy, he can't even.
You just know we stood in front of the mirror for an hour practicing that, and now everybody's making fun of
him. He worked on that?
Duval. He had to have worked at it.
Oh, boy.
You don't do that unless you go in with a plan.
He's no McConaughey.
See, he's no McConaughey, no. And which would you rather have if you're a fan base? A guy at his opening press conference make that kind of impression that is lasting, or the kind that Ben Johnson made at House Hall a week ago?
Well, honestly, Ben Johnson made the impression of a bright guy. I think we both picked up on that, and we certainly had a chance to interview him, and you felt like, wow, this guy has got it together. And then my tidbit of the day, which I learned yesterday, is that he got a 36 on his ACT. I know that doesn't matter what you're doing in high school, but it tells you, and he told us that his parents were educators and that they made that a big highlight for the whole family. But a 36, that means the guy aced it. I mean, you take that there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many books you can read or how many sample test you can what take where you get a 36.
What did his brother
his
get?
His brother got Cubs season.
Well, see, I know. He's working. He went to MIT.
His brother went to MIT. I wonder, would he have gone to MIT or, you know, an Ivy League school had he not tried to play football? Has this man thrown his life away?
Well, I don't know that
he's making $13 million a year.
I don't think you look at it that way. I think he went to North Carolina because it was right down the road, correct? That's pretty much the
Asheville,
idea.
Relatively close to
Stayed home, get a good education in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And you walk onto the football team and you find your calling when you find a coach that you want to emulate. And that was the Ben Johnson story. And it continues in Chicago. So I imagine that he's busy today filling out the rest of his staff. Biggsy said when we talked to him at 7 o'clock, Jim Dre, the tight ends coach, might be a holdover on this staff. You look at Antoine Randall-El as the wide receivers coach and assistant head coach.
Yes.
JT Barrett, the quarterback's coach.
Yep.
That's a good addition. We talked to Joshua Perry about him. And then you got the guys that I think you're identifying as also potential head coaching material. Declan Doyle, 28 years old. Press Taylor, 37 years old, and now they're going to be working for 38-year-old Ben Johnson. A lot of youth and vitality in that Hallis Hall coaching room.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. They got to get that O-line coach. A lot of rumors floating around. We don't want to be naming people before they're officially named. But fun to talk to Clay. No, I didn't.
That was Clay.
Clay just said there was a lot of talk about it, but he said he was not a reporter.
Yeah, he's not a reporter. He's down there observing and getting some good intel about guys who are having good weeks of practice. He gave us some names to keep an eye on as the Bears kind of put their draft list together. And also, you know, when we talk about Dan Rashard, is somebody that Brad Biggs has talked about, and somebody that people who cover the team have mentioned and written about. He's a guy that's the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of experience, Molly. He's had as much experience as you could want in an assistant coach if they go that direction.
How about this comment on the text line? This is the sort of thing that makes you feel good about yourself. Would you still be alive, Mully, to be able to write that book? Wow.
What is that?
That means that by the time they become head coaches, I will have shuffled off this mortal coil.
I don't think that's...
What the hell kind of comment is that?
I don't think that's nice.
How old do you think I am?
I don't think that's good. These guys could be head coaches in 2 years.
Holy cow.
You look at the NFL, and Liam Cohen 2 years ago, I think, was calling plays for Kentucky.
Yeah.
So if somebody has said that.
Now he is a head coach.
Now he's a head coach.
And he can scream Duval any way he wants.
I suppose.
Duval.
They have yet
was
to hire.
Was that nervous laughter?
It had to be,
what is
yeah.
that in the background? Yeah. That's not, you couldn't be enjoying that.
You know, down in Jacksonville, we have Liam Cohen, the head coach. Shad Khan, the owner, told reporters at some point, maybe it was 2 days ago, maybe it was during that press conference, they don't really plan to have a general manager before the end of February. Because
really?
They don't need to until February 28th, he mentioned. So they aren't really looking to be in any kind of hurry.
When is the combine?
It's after the Super Bowl. I think it's February 17th.
Don't you like to have a general manager?
Well, I think they probably will, and you obviously want to. But I think his point was we're not in any hurry. And so if you are looking at Ian Cunningham being alongside Ryan Poles in Mobile as a representative of the Bears front office, I don't know that necessarily automatically disqualifies him from a job search that seems to be ongoing.
So he could get a general manager's job in Jacksonville because he did interview there.
He's been mentioned there.
That would mean the Bears get 2 third-round picks.
Mm-hmm. One this year,
one
I think,
this
one next year.
One next year. Wow.
So that's still in play.
That's another offensive lineman.
That's another body. And people cynically will say that's another third-round miss for Ryan Poles.
Oh, that was you who said that cynically.
No, it wasn't me.
No one else would
think
that.
Somebody might have texted that in. I think it was Dustin. Yeah.
Whoever was questioning my lifespan.
That was mean. That was really mean. But the fact is that maybe Ian Cunningham understands the timetable, isn't in any hurry, can't count on anything. So resume normal activity with the Bears, and that includes going to the Senior Bowl with Ryan Poles.
Yeah, there is a hiring cycle now. You know, I wonder how much. I remember last year. Let's put it this way: that Ryan Poles, they were waiting to draft I believe, the second of their two number one picks. That would be Roma Dunze going at, where'd he go, ninth, was it, that he went? And apparently, Poles was getting nervous that guys were flying off the board, and he said afterward that it was Ian Cunningham that was kind of trying to calm him down so he didn't rush to trade a pick to ensure that they get a Dunze.
Well, a Dunze was the guy they wanted in retrospect. When you look at the receivers that flew off the board, Malik Nabers might have been a guy that they would have targeted because he had a terrific rookie season.
He did. Did Dunze not have a good rookie season?
I don't think it met expectations.
You know what's funny is I remember before the Rams game where they talked to him about Puka Nacua, because Puka Nacua started at Washington and then left there. So Rome would have been there with him. And Rome he was just being honest, but he made it sound like he was a better player than Puka Nacua.
In your head, that's what the way you think.
But Puka Nacua is a real good player. And he's
Puka Nacua
done
is a
quite a bit.
Impact player. High impact player in the NFL.
And I honestly thought that Rome was going to be able to do, especially with like jump balls, stuff like that. So he didn't have the kind of year that I anticipated him having when they drafted him. I really wanted them to get him, and I was really
pleased.
He was
ninth overall. You're drafted in the top 10, and you have...
Well, Puka Nacua was much later the year before.
No, but my point is with Roma Dunze, if you're drafted there, the expectations are going to accompany you into the league. And as a rookie, if you have the numbers that he put up, you're going to be somewhat disappointed. Now, what my point was with Puka Nacua is that when you're on the same college team or you are a teammate of somebody, in that moment, in that context, if you think that you are better than him or you're deemed better than him in that moment, that's almost never going to change in your mind. You're like, all right, well, if he had a great year, I can have a better one because I'm better than he is. I'm better than he was.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're attaching to the comp. Can you imagine that wide receiver room at Washington having those two guys?
Yeah, if that guy's leaving. Right? Because he's not going to get enough playing. Like, he looks around like, oh, these guys are awful good. I got to get out of here.
And that's why Washington had so much success. I mean, got their coach hired in Alabama.
Puka Nacua, fifth round pick, pick number 177.
It can happen. It rarely does, but it can happen. You can find guys like that in the fifth round, in the fourth round.
Who would you rather have out of the fifth round? Braxton Jones, Puka Nacua. Well, he's the Bears' best fifth-round pick. That's all I'm...
Where did Cooper Kupp go in the draft? Think about how
the Rams
have hit on the few draft picks that they have kept over the years... Mm. And they have had that kind of success, but you look at a guy like Nacua in the fifth round.
Is it crazy? I didn't realize he was a fifth rounder. I guess I did, but
yeah, I didn't. I didn't know he was gone that far down. Cooper Kupp, Rams. I don't think he went to a big school either. So when you talk about his draft status, he has ascended from being overall a third round pick.
Eastern Washington, guys.
Eastern Washington.
Third round in the hundreds, 107 or something like that.
One of the best wide receiving duos in the NFL are two guys third that were drafted in the third and the fifth round.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I wonder if they've got like maybe a future Hall of Fame quarterback or maybe the coach. One of those guys is real good.
Oh, That would be the ultimate debate for you. Who's better, Matthew Stafford or Sean McVay?
Oh, I think it wouldn't be much of a...
I know. It would be no debate for you.
No. He's a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a stud. All right, we've got, I believe, Dan and Marshall. We'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw. It is Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.